Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 15. Luke, chapter 15, and we'll continue in this chapter and in this book, Luke, chapter 15. And as we mentioned last week, there are some that would call this the lost chapter, but I prefer to call it the found chapter, the found sheep, the found coin, and today the found son. And some of you probably have had children that have, shall we say, drifted away from their faith. And it's good to know that they can come back and be faithfully used of the Lord. If you would, let's stand together. Luke 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your blessings. Lord, we ask that you would be with us this day, honoring your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We'll continue reading here in the book of Luke, chapter 15, and verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Do you notice verse 17 ends with an explanation point? There aren't too many explanation points in the Bible. But I think this one is there to tell you just how hungry he was. Verse 18 says, I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. This is the third of three parables Christ gives in Luke 15. Now, number three actually has two parts, and we'll do the next part next week. But we find that three parables are given. The first was the parable of the found sheep. One of 100 sheep had wandered away, and the shepherd left the 99 to go and find the one that was missing. And upon finding the sheep, called his friends and neighbors, asking them to rejoice and that he had found his lost sheep. Then we have the second parable, one of the found coin. A woman had lost one of her 10 coins and lit a lamp and swept the floor, searching for the coin until she found it. And she also then called for her friends and neighbors to come and rejoice with her over the found coin. So there was one of 100, there was one of 10, and now we find one of 2. And verse 11 tells us, a certain man had two sons. Now, we're not told their ages. We don't know if the younger one is now turned 18 or 21 or at what point this is in his life, but he is the younger of two. And he has two sons, and I'm sure that he loved them as best as he can equally. I'm sure that he was proud of both his sons and two of them. Much like Cain and Abel, there in the book of Genesis, that Cain the oldest and Abel the youngest, one was rebellious and one was dutiful. One did what was right and the other struggled. And you know, sometimes in our own lives, we'll see that maybe in our children, that one struggles more with doing right than maybe someone else. We find in verse 12, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. We find that he wants his goods, wants his part of his inheritance so that he can leave. You know, there are some kids, they just can't wait to leave. Now, I know this, that the day before I turned 18, I got on a plane, Braniff, if I remember correctly, and headed for Dallas-Fort Worth and Love Field. And I was about to enter the Bible Baptist Seminary in Arlington, Texas. And I remember, 18, you have to register for the draft. And I registered for the draft in Dallas, Texas. And there I was, a young man, and in many ways I thought, this is great. Man, mother and dad are back in Michigan. This is good. But you know, responsibility still soon hit me in the face that being at home now, things were my responsibility. Some of you may have left home very early. Some of you may have stayed at home a long time. I remember this when Matthew, our oldest, decided he was going to go to college in Grand Rapids, and we took him over to Grand Rapids, and it was time to leave, and I thought to myself, this is not easy. And I remember thinking to myself, I owe my parents an apology. Because when I left, I left, and when Matthew left virtually, he was hardly ever home again. And I know that on the way back from Grand Rapids on I-96, I know you're only supposed to stop in case of emergencies. It was an emergency. I couldn't see. You say, well, why couldn't you see? I was crying so hard that I had to pull off because my son was back in Grand Rapids and I was going home. I don't think we did anything to his bedroom for months. Our dog walked around trying to figure out where he was. You know, when one of your children leave, it's hard. Now you say, Pastor Paul, do you have an empty nest? I say, yes, and praise God for it. I like it. If I could just get rid of those three dogs, it'd be heaven. But I tell you what, when the first child leaves, be it the younger or the older, it's hard. We find that some think that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. They don't realize that they've worked harder at getting it green. And sometimes it's hard. But he says, Father, give me. You know, we live in a society of give me. I'm entitled. I deserve it, and I deserve it now. And sometimes young couples get into trouble because they want everything their parents have, and they want it now. They don't realize that their parents, it took them 25 or 30 years to get to that point. The problem is they want it now. And he's, Father, give me. And the father divided unto him his living. His father agreed. Okay, I tell you what I'll do. He says, you know, we'll work out something here, and your brother will get some, and you'll get the rest of it. And he divided his living. Notice verse 13, and not many days after. I would imagine it didn't come as a surprise to the father that the younger son was itching to go. I don't think it caught him off guard. I don't think he said to the servant, wow, I didn't see that coming. I think he knew it was coming. I think he could see that his son was anxious to leave. And when, it says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. He counted up what he had. He figured, this is what I need to go. And he left. Notice what it says. He gathered all together and took his journey. The Bible says he took his journey into a far country. He was leaving the home for the bright lights of Toledo. Or wherever. He was looking down I-75 and he says, that's where I want to go. Maybe at some point in time, your son or your daughter said, I want to go there because it looks exciting. The younger son went into a far country. Sometimes we realize they want to get away because they don't want mother and dad looking over their shoulder. Sometimes they want to get away so that they can be out on their own. But he went into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Where is that far country? You know, as we look into the Bible, Joseph's brother's far country was 20 pieces of silver. They sold their brother into slavery. That was the far country that they went into. Well, we find that Korah wanted power. His country was power. We find that Achan, his country was gold and silver and a goodly Babylonian garment. He thought, that is where I need to be. We find that Samson's far country was Delilah. We find that David's far country was Bathsheba. If you study the history of David, his life was constantly on a rise until Bathsheba. And after Bathsheba, his life was basically all downhill from there. That far country will take you in the wrong direction. We find that Judas' far country was 30 pieces of silver. May we note that this unnamed younger son quickly wasted his substance with riotous living. Take your Bibles and keeping your place here, turn to Ephesians chapter 2, if you would, please. Ephesians chapter 2. See, by nature, our desire usually is toward the riotous living. Our nature is to be constantly looking for excitement. How many times have you heard some teenager say, well, that isn't any fun. That's no fun. Is that what life is supposed to be all about, is fun? I tell you what, if that's all you're looking for in life, you're going to be what? Disappointed. There is going to be fun, but life is work. Life is hard. We find in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Then that far country, people go so they can be in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Riotous living. We live in a world of riotous living. If you would, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous time shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and holy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And Paul tells Timothy, from such turn away. Riotous living. Our country has viewed over the last few days the riots in Ferguson, Missouri. And may I say this, there is no right way to do something wrong. And we have seen chaos there as people have not been obedient to the laws of the land. You know, we find that we have riotous living in our society today. One of the things that we have is lewd dress. Lewd dress. We have immoral behavior. We have dishonesty, greed, drugs, alcohol, and it leads to chaos. It leads to problems. Riotous living. Back in the book of Luke chapter 15, we'll note the misery of the far country. We'll note that he went out with such expectations, such desires, and he fell on his face. He fell on his face. Verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. See the misery? He spent all. Be assured that his so-called friends left him. You can be assured that once there wasn't any more money, they didn't want to be around him anymore. This guy who came from who knows wherever and was a good time for a while, but he doesn't have any money now. He spent it all. The famine, there is no support. There's no love. There's no hope. And I wonder when he begins to ponder going home. Notice the want. He was hungry. Maybe there's been some time in your life when you were hungry. I mean, you were really hungry. He was abused as this citizen of that country sent him out to take care of the swine and probably told him, well, you can eat whatever out there. Now, how would you like to eat with the swine? I don't think I'd like that very much. When we were in Honduras, whatever was left over from lunch, whatever peelings were left over were taken out to the field and the animals ate it. You can imagine if you were so hungry that you'd get down in there and eat with the animals. Notice what it says, no man gave unto him. No hope. Sometimes we get our eyes on the wrong things. And verse 17a says, and when he came to himself, he's going to examine himself. You know, there's a time when we have to examine ourselves. 1 Corinthians 11:28 says, and let a man examine himself. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves and to prove your faith. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalms 39. Psalm 39, if you would please. Self-examination. And there are times in which we need to examine where we are right now so that we can get things right with the Lord. So we can get things right. We need to examine our mouth. Psalm 39, verse 1. I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Examine your mouth. How is your language today? How are you talking to your mate? How are you talking to your parents? How are you talking to your boss or to your employees? How are you talking to your friends and your fellow church people? How are you talking to them? Examine your mouth so that we sin not. We need to examine our heart, verses 3 and 4. My heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end. We need to make sure that we are right with God so that we can be right with people. If you're not right with God, don't expect to be right with people. Next, we need to examine our life. verses 5 and 6. Behold, thou hast made my days as a hand breadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. Examine your life. Make sure it's where you belong. Verse 7, we need to examine our hope. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. What are you hoping for today? Now, some would say, well, I'm hoping to go home and have some pizza. Some may say, I'm hoping to go and have some fried chicken. I was invited by Sam over here in the condos. He says, why don't you come over and have some fried chicken with us tomorrow? Well, you know, I guess if I like fried chicken a little bit more, Don, I'd go over there. But what are you hoping for today? Hopefully you're hoping that you'll be doing the Lord's will. We need to examine our prayers. Verses 12 and 13. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. Examine your prayers, praying for the Lord's will. And one last one, if you would, Psalm 139. Quickly, 139, verses 23 and 24. Verses that you should have underlined in your Bibles. Verses that are precious. But we need to examine our future. Where are you going tomorrow? Many are at the crossroads of life right now. Many are at points where they need to think, where am I going? Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. We need to examine. Quickly, if you would, back to the book of Luke chapter 15. Time is quickly running. And I'm only halfway through my notes. Boy, we might have a problem here. Verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. I read to you from the book of Romans chapter 15, verses 5 and 6. It says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. Do you think you should live your life to glorify God? I mean, that's what it's all about, isn't it? To glorify God. This past week, McQuaid Plumbing came to the church building. They were to send over three people. One was Kirk, one was Mark, and I can't remember the other guy. And so I decided I was going to pick them off one at a time to invite them to church. That seems like a good thing, right? And so I got Kirk first. He was the grunt. You ever been the grunt? That means you got paid the least and you did the most work. Yeah? Okay. I mean, I remember I've been the grunt on a number of occasions, and now I have a grunt. He's a good grunt. But I got Kirk aside, and I was going to plan a sneak attack. You know, when you talk to someone about church and the Lord, you just don't want to jump right on top of them. And I asked Kirk, I presume that someday you want to be the plumber and you have somebody helping you. And he goes, yes. And he began to tell me about the different classes he was taking and how he was moving along and that he was wanting to get to the place where he could be the plumber. And I said, you know, as a preacher, I'm always reading, I'm always learning. I said, I imagine you have to do the same. And he goes, yes, he says, I really do. I said, well, tell me, what did your preacher preach about yesterday? That's about what there was when I asked them that. Now, it's Monday, so, you know, he should be able to remember what his preacher preached about on Sunday, right? And he said to me, now, he's honest. He says, well, I didn't go. I said, you didn't go? I go, do you go regularly? He goes, well, not like I should. I said, where do you go when you do go? He goes, oh, I'm a Baptist. I go, you're a Baptist? I said, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? He goes, yes. He says, I took care of that years ago. I said, but you're not going to church. You know, he's AWOL. See, that's one of the problems we have in America today, is we have too many Christians that are AWOL. Now, it didn't bother him to say he was a Baptist, but I thought to myself, I didn't ask him this question, I thought to him, how can you be a witness to the other two guys? Don't you think he should want to be a witness to the other two guys that are working with him? The other guy said to me, he goes, I don't go to church anywhere. I said, never? He says, no. I said, I've never gone to church. Now, here's a guy who just comes out and tells you, I've never gone to church, and Kirk should be able to be a what to him? He should be able to be a testimony. But how can Kirk be a testimony to Mark if he doesn't go to church? He was AWOL. This young man was not at home with his dad helping the business. He was AWOL. He was spending all that he had on riotous living. You know, sometimes the American dream to have and to have everything imaginable has clouded our minds to the fact that we need to be bringing glory to our Heavenly Father. And that's why we're here, to be a blessing. Now, I'll be honest with you, I invited Kirk to come. I told him, I said, hey, if you can come this far to work, you can come this far to church. He said he might think about it. Now, did you say he might think about it? Pray for Kirk. But the problem is we have too many who are AWOL. But he came to himself and said, I got to get things right. Verse 20 says, and he arose and he came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Aren't you glad that we have a merciful Heavenly Father? Okay, let me say that again. I know that it's after 12 o'clock and some of you have tuned right out, but aren't you glad you have a merciful Heavenly Father? See, all of us have a tendency to wander away, but God welcomes us back. Shall we stand together? Maybe this morning there's something you'd like to come and pray about. Something maybe you need to talk to the Lord about. Maybe there is in your life a son or a daughter that needs to be prayed for. Maybe there is someone that is a friend, someone even that you know from church who has begun to miss, and you'd like to come and pray for them. And if you don't know who to pray for about people in our church who have begun to drift, let me know and I'll tell you some people's names. You can come pray for them right now. See, what happens is we take our eyes off the Lord and we put it on the riotous living. And we say, that looks more exciting. But we know this, that the ways of man are the ways of death. Maybe you need to come and get your life right with the Lord today. And I tell you what, the best place to be when you need to get things right is in the house of God. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless this invitation time. And Lord, we think of Kirk and his willingness to admit he was saved, but Lord, we pray that he could get things right with you. And Lord, we think of some of our own church people who have drifted away. Lord, we pray that they would get their hearts right. But Lord, maybe there's someone here right now that is battling with something in their life. Maybe they have a family member or someone else, Lord, that they need to pray for. Lord, we just have this invitation time so they can come and pray. And Lord, we just ask that your will be done. Lord, we pray that there can be joy in heaven over one repenting. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.